But my title today is God Wants Us to Have a Triumphant Life. God wants us to have a triumphant life. It's not a word that we use a lot of times. We might say we want to win, or we want to have the victory. We want to be able to celebrate and things like that. But God wants us to have a triumphant life. And of course, we saw in Sunday school about the place and the plan and the person. And that place and that plan and the person is there so we can have a triumphant life. And that's what this is talking about. But that word triumphant does mean, it means victorious. It does mean conquering or overcoming or rejoicing or celebrating a victory. That's what the word triumphant means. And God wants us to have a triumphant life. But just saying that, obviously I can think about my life and I was like, oh, there's several times or many times that I haven't been triumphant. But it wasn't God's fault. Why? Because He wants us to have a triumphant life. He wants us to be able to succumb, or not to succumb to any temptation. Why? Because He gives us that way of escape. He wants us to be victorious in that temptation. He doesn't want us to be like Satan. He doesn't want us to be like this world and things like that. So He gives us the ability to triumphant over all that. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. And it says here, "Now thanks be unto God, which always," and there it is, "always causes us to triumph." And so if you look at that verse and say, well, that's got to be a lie, because I don't always triumph. Again, the problem's not with God. The problem's with us. Because He says here, "Thanks be unto God, which always causes us." So those times that we haven't triumphed, those times that we have failed, He was right there with the way to win, or the way to have the victory, or the way to triumph over that temptation or that thing that you're having an issue with. So it says here, "He always can cause us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor," not savior there, but savor. It's like a smell of His knowledge by us in every place. Verse 15, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ." And so obviously it makes God, Jesus happy when we're triumphant. It says here, it makes God happy when we're triumphant. It smells good. "In them that are saved and in them that perish." Verse 16, "To the one we are the savor of death, unto death. And to the other we are the savor of life, unto life. And who is significant in of these things," or sufficient of these things, "for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as in of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Now, I know some of that is not vernacular that we use all the time, and it might be a little bit confusing. All right, so I'm going to do my best with God's help to explain that. But we do see here that He always will give us the victory. He will always help us to triumph over that issue. And so it says here, "Thanks be unto God." And so the first thing, obviously, as far as my introduction goes, the first thing that comes to my mind that I'm thankful for, obviously, is my salvation. I didn't earn it. I didn't triumph over my sin. I didn't triumph over the devil. I didn't triumph over the world's philosophy. But God helped me to do that by giving me salvation. So we see here, if we're looking at our salvation and saying, "Thanks be unto God, He helped me triumph." And so in this room, those of us that are saved, there was probably different issues that we had to triumph over to get saved. The first one, I can identify with this. Some in this room have triumphed over not being raised in church. Okay? That would keep me from being saved. That would keep me from knowing how to triumph over my sins. Why? Because I wasn't raised in church. I didn't hear about the Christmas story. I thought it was just Santa Claus. Okay? I didn't know they had just made that up. All right, to sell a lot of stuff and to ho 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 and sing all these songs, things like that. But Christmas is really about Jesus. I wasn't raised that way. I didn't know. So God actually brought salvation unto me. I had to triumph over that issue. I wasn't raised that way. There's some people maybe in this room, they had to triumph over being taught a lie. In other words, they were raised that, hey, you have to pray to Mary. And if you pray to Mary, she can put pressure on Jesus. And then He can put pressure on God. and then you might can get saved. That's what they were taught. Rub this bead or say this and do this and that's what you're going to get to heaven. That's not in this Bible. All right? So that person had to triumph over, I was taught this. And that's not the case. Exactly. The Bible calls that person a twofold child of hell. In other words, they had to accept the truth and realize what they were taught was a lie. Twofold. They had to triumph over that. I know there's some people in here like that today. You were raised in a different religion, but you heard the truth, and God helped you triumph over that, and thanks be unto God for our salvation. I wasn't taught it. Some people were taught a lie. Here's another one. God has helped us triumph over accepting forgiveness. A lot of people battle with this. Well, I would get saved because I don't want to go to hell. But I've done this and this and this. And man, I did this and I did this. There's just no way God can forgive that, all of that. Yes, He can. All right? And so once we grasp that, you mean God can forgive me for everything? Yes. If air's going through these nostrils and out this mouth or vice versa, however you're breathing right now, right? God can save you. Because if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be here. All right? But if you're still breathing, God can forgive you of any sin. I mean, any sin. People on death row that have created a heinous crime can still be saved. They have to stay in there their life sentence, but they can still be saved. So we see here, thanks be unto God that helps us triumph over not being raised right, not being taught a lie, actually have to accept the forgiveness, and I'm right there with that one. The next one we see here that some have triumphed over the lack of faith. I just don't see how. Like this morning we saw in Sunday school that Jesus was 100% man, and He was 100% God. And we had some mathematicians in Sunday school this morning. I was like, do that math. Like, you can't. How can He be? We just have to accept it by faith. You mean all I have to do is realize I'm a sinner, accept what Jesus did on the cross, dying and shedding His blood. I just ask Him to save me and He will? Yep. How? We have to accept what He says by faith. So, God helped some of us triumph over that. Here's another way we triumphed. Some of us have, like the young man said in the Bible, I've kept all the Ten Commandments from my youth up. Man, I've been dotting every I, crossing every T since I was a little boy. And Jesus said to him, well, now what you need to do is sell everything and follow me. I can't do that. I got lots of stuff. All right? And I can't do that. So we see that it was just works. Some of us had to triumph over our work. We just had to let go and let God. We can't do anything to save ourselves. We can't do anything to keep ourselves saved. That's all in God. So thanks be unto God that helped us triumph over all that stuff. That's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because some weren't taught. Some were taught a lie. Some had lots of sins to accept forgiveness of. Some have been trying to work. Some have been trying to do all these things. But God says, hey, I came so that you could triumph always. And salvation is one thing that we triumph. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says this, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Obviously, this time of the year, we like to give gifts to our loved ones. There was gift giving going on last night, gift wrapping, gift matching, all kinds of gift stuff. But the Bible says that God's gift is unspeakable. I'll try to explain it, but I'll fall short. That's what it's saying. There's no way to give it the credibility it deserves. I just talked about some that I finally found out the truth. And I overcome that. And then forgiveness and faith. And it's not of works. It's God that saved us. It's unspeakable. So we see here, what all He forgave me from, it's unspeakable. What all comes with salvation down here on earth, unspeakable. What all comes with salvation when we get up there? Unspeakable. We can't tell it all. What all comes with salvation throughout eternity? It is an unspeakable gift. The Bible says that eye have not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor entered into the heart of man. There's no way we can describe our gift unto salvation. We just need to say, thanks be unto God that gave us a triumph. Now, not only is it unspeakable, it's unstoppable. Unstoppable. And, you know, I just watch, but I want our running backs from my favorite football team to be unstoppable. There's 11 guys on the other side of that line that's trying to kill him. Knock his helmet off. All right, whatever. But I want him to be unstoppable and score the touchdown. So we see here that God's gift, not only is it unspeakable, it's unstoppable. It's never going to stop. It's the gift that keeps on giving. They always say that around Christmas time. All right? But it is. It's an unstoppable gift. Romans 5, 17 and 18. Listen to this. For by one man, talking about Adam, for by one man's offense. So when that man, I know some people, some of us dudes in here saying, well, it was Eve's fault. All right? It's that woman that thou gavest me. All right? We try to shift, but we see here he ate too. All right? If he was all that in the bag of chips, he could have said, nope. I'm not going to. God said not to, but he went ahead and ate. But anyway, it says here, for that one man's offense, death reigned by one much more than which received abundance of grace. And so because of that one man's sin, all of us in this entire world, past and present, as far as humans go, that sin was passed upon them. Well, that's just not fair. That's just the way it is. God created them perfect, put them in the Garden of Eden, and said, you know, don't eat of the one fruit. They sinned. And so because of that sin, we were all born sinned. But it goes on to say, it says here, of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. And so again, if you are that mathematician, you see that one man caused us all to be sinners. But then the one God-man caused us all to have the availability to triumph over that sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some of these kids are going to open presents on Christmas morning and they're going to be all excited and they're going to be wanting it to work right then. But then you read on the box, batteries not included. All right, and some of us read that first and we got some taped on it, things like that. So, but the Bible doesn't say about eternal life, that eternal gift. It doesn't say eternity not included. It's forever. It's an unstoppable gift. When He gives it to us, He's not going to take it back. It's going to have all that we need. Eternity is included. John 4:10 says this, and Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest ask of Him, and He would give thee living water. Obviously, that gift that Jesus gave us is living water. It's eternal life. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works which any man should boast. So we see here, it's a gift. It's an unstoppable gift. Ephesians 4:30 says this, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where ye were sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I like that verse. And obviously, there's different ways to grieve the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit says, hey, don't do that, and we do it, it grieves Him. If the Holy Spirit is bearing witness when we're reading the Word of God or hearing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is saying, that's true, that's true, that's true. And we're like, no, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to believe that. That grieves Him. But if we don't think He can keep us saved, that grieves Him. All right, it says here, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you were sealed to the day of redemption. He said, I saved you, I sealed you, I got you. Don't grieve me by thinking that I can't keep you saved. I can keep you saved. John 10:28-29. Of course, very familiar verse about salvation. I'll just paraphrase the verse. When you get saved, Jesus holds out His hand and you're standing right there. And He puts you in there. And the Bible says, no man can pluck you out of His hand. Then verse 29 says, God puts His hand right there. And He says, definitely no man is going to be able to pluck you out of His hand. So we see here that it's a unstoppable gift. Salvation is an unspeakable gift. First, I think I quoted some of this verse a while ago. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, but it is written, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for him that love him. If you're saved, he's got you. And what he's got in heaven is forever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, but whosoever believeth in him, here it is, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So thanks be unto the God for our salvation. God is, those of us that have accepted that gift, he helps us triumph over death. Okay, this flesh may see it, but our soul and spirit will never see death. To be absent from this body, be present with the Lord. So he gave us triumph over death. Hell, we'll never have to go. All right, he conquered it for us. If you're saved, you took that eternal gift. All right, eternity's included. You will never see hell. And same thing, the grave. Even this body will have to go in the grave. But the Bible says when he comes back, the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Our bodies will resurrect. So, but we see in verse 14 there, it says, thanks be unto God who always gives us a triumph unto salvation. So I believe everybody in here this morning that's saved, some of those things that we triumph, we might can have in common. We see all these verses that he promises us eternal life, and we can say, okay, I accept it. I've triumphed over death. I've triumphed over hell. I've triumphed over the grave through Jesus Christ. So just like we can have the confidence that we're not going to hell, we're going to heaven. The Bible says that we can always have that same confidence and that same triumph in life if we'll just let Him. Where we've had to come to the realization, I can't do anything to save myself. I've just got to accept it and let God save me. There's so many things that I fail at. I can't triumph. I don't have the victory over. Whoa, 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 whoa. God says right here in this verse, you can always have that triumph. But we just got to let Him. So instead of butting with our own heads, I'm stubborn. I would argue with you that I'm the most stubborn person in this world. And I'm not changing my mind on that. I see it and prove it. All right? So, I can't. But what I have to do is say, okay, God, you say right here that you will always give me the triumph. So instead of butting with my own head, trying to figure it out my own self, trying to just go with the flow, wing it, fly by the seat of my pants. What I need to do is stop and say, okay, God, here's the issue. I want to be victorious. I want to overcome. I want triumph. What do we need to do? And just like He saved your soul, He will help you have the victory over whatever it is. The Bible can't lie. I can always have triumph. If I look back at things that I failed at, maybe time and time and time again, and I finally got it through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit's help, and I got victory over that, I was like, duh. If I'd have done that 15 years ago, I could have had the triumph back then. All of us have faced that. So we see that this is a true verse that God says, hey, I can give you triumph over anything. The Bible calls it besetting sin. Not a word that we use a lot. Besetting sin. In other words, that one that pops its head back up several times a day. Several times a month. Ugh. But if you would stop, if I would stop, God could give us triumph over it right then and there. That's what He says. That even that besetting sin. So if we let Him give us that triumph over temptation, what does He say about temptation? I think I've already quoted half of it. Hey, with that temptation, what I will do, He's talking about triumph, I will give you a way to escape. So God's saying, look, I can always give you triumph. So if we let Him, He can help us triumph over our own flesh. If we'll let Him, He can help us triumph over this world's philosophy. Well, this is what the world always says. This is what the world puts out there. This is what everybody else is doing. But that might not be triumph. May not be victory. But God can give us the victory over the world's philosophy. If we'll let Him, He'll help us even get victory over the devil. There's a verse in there. If we resist Him with God's help, what does the devil do? He flees. Triumph. It's right there in the Bible. God says, I can always, your own flesh, I can give you victory over that. This world's philosophy, that the commercialism in there, all the people of the world try to push down our throat. I can give you triumph over that. The devil even shows up and he tries to tempt. He tries to discourage. I can give you triumph over that. So our key is, the key to the victorious Christian life is to let God give us that triumph. What do I do here, God? And so the way we do that is by walking with Him, hide His words in our heart that we might not sin against God. That helps us have triumph. Listen to that small, still voice that He's given us. That'll probably help us get triumph. Ask for His help through prayer. Call unto Me. I will answer you and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Triumph. So it's full. The Bible is full of ways to get that triumph. God can help us always cause us to have triumph. So how do we always allow God to cause us to get triumph? Let's look at these verses. Number one, in verse 14. First of all, we have to be in Christ. In Christ. In other words, you have to be saved. If this morning you're not born again, you do not have Jesus Christ inside of you, you have not been saved, you probably can't get to triumph. The key is, in verse 14, we have to be in Christ. Thanks be unto God, which always giveth us the triumph. And what is it, the next two words? In Christ. Have to be saved. So in other words, God's saying, hey, if you're My child, I'll give you the triumph. What does a parent do to his child? Trying to help them be victorious. Trying to help them be hard workers. Trying to help them to be honest. Trying to help them do the right thing. That's what God wants to do for us. He's like, if you're in Me, if you're saved, I will help you get the victory. So there's not a possibility of living a victorious life outside of Christ. People are trying to do it today. They're like, well, I got baptized, so I should be triumphant. Even the day I got baptized, they gave me a t-shirt that said, I've decided. Right? That t-shirt should help me triumph. Mm-mm. I'm not against baptisms. I'm not against t-shirts. Right? But I'm against trying to do anything outside of Christ. If we're going to be triumphant, we've got to be in Christ. So we see, to be in Christ means to be saved, to be sanctified. I know that's a spiritual word, sanctified. Woo-wee-oo. Right? Basically, sanctified just means to be set apart, yielded totally to the Holy Spirit. If you want to have triumph, you've got to be yielded totally to the Holy Spirit. I failed at this situation so many times, God. I want to have victory. I want to triumph over this. What do I need to do? He will help you. Not only should we be saved and sanctified, we need to be separated. We need to be different from the world. Come out from among them and be separated, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. He wants to help us to be triumphant. Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So saved, sanctified, separated. The last one underneath this is Spirit-filled. 1 John 4:13 says this, hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. If you want to be triumphant, you got to listen. Listen to that Holy Spirit. So be saved and be sanctified. Number two, how do we get that triumphant from God? Always. Verse 14 also says, you got to be in Christ. But then it goes on to say, and maketh manifest. In other words, what's inside of us needs to start coming out. That's what that means. All right? Don't be a secret agent Christian. Undercover Christian. No, don't tell anybody I'm Christian. No. If you're in Christ, then it says here, make it manifest. That Savior for His knowledge, but by Him in every place. So we see here the second thing we need to do is put off an aroma. Put off an aroma. All right. Obviously, fall started coming, and you know, it's Jesus Christ and pumpkin spice and everything nice and all that stuff. That aroma. You go into these stores, boom, I mean, it knocks you upside your head. All right. That pumpkin spice smell. It's an aroma. Now, Christian, you have to have fir trees burning. All right. Or some other kind of candle or some kind of cookie smell. And you go into people's houses and they have this aroma. Alright? And things like, and I'm not telling you to go out and buy all this stuff and do essential this and essential that and woo-wee-oo and all that kind of stuff and meditate. Alright? But it ought to be obvious. Okay? Boom! Pumpkin. You go into a store, it's obviously they're burning something that's got pumpkin. Bam! It hits you in the face. You go into a store these days, you know, Bath and Body Works, I'll go sneeze like 30,000 times. My wife wants some lotion or she wants something to burn in. I'll wait out here. All right? Why? Because it's obvious there's some aromas going on in there. All right? So that's what God's saying here. Look, be saved, but let it be obvious. That's what it says right there. You put off that savor. It ought to be a sweet smelling savor. You know, some people, it ought to be obvious that we're, you know, a child of God. Aroma basically means distinct, pervasive. In other words, it's coming up in your nostrils. And it's usually a pleasant smell. Now, some people, it's obvious, and this might be said about you when you start with your, you know, little comments and your, you know, trickeration and things like that. And they'll say this, I smell a rat. They know what's up. All right? You're going to pull the chair out from under me. You're going to do something. You know, you're going to push my face into the pie. I smell a rat here. It's obvious that you're a trickster. All right? Nothing wrong with that. But then it says here, I smell something fishy. It's obvious something's going wrong. That's why the Bible says to beware of those false prophets that sneak in unawares. I smell something fishy. That aroma is not matching with the aroma that the triumph gave me. It ought to be that obvious. So that's what he's saying. I smell a skunk. Whew. You can't around here, buddy. When they've been spread all over that road, all right, their stinkability is still available. It'll knock you in the nostrils. My granddad used to say this, and I'm sure some of your granddads used to say, it smells like kyarn. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. What's kyarn smell like? I would ask my granddad, whoo, man, that smells like kyarn. What is kyarn? He says, it smells like death. Okay. And, you know, you see a dog, they'll run out there and there'll be an animal dead. They'll start rubbing all in it and things like that, getting that kyarn smell on them. All right. So, all of that is obvious. Skunk smell is obvious. Kyarn is obvious. All right? Fishy, obvious. But that's what he's saying. Look. If you want to always be triumphant, be saved, be in Christ, and put off the aroma that you're a Christian. How do I let God always give me that triumph? Number one, we have to be in Christ. Number two, we have to put off an aroma. Number three, same right there in verse 14 as well, we have to reveal the wisdom of God. And it says right there in verse 14, in Christ, and make manifest that savor, put off that aroma, and then here it is, of His knowledge by us in every place. And again, I remember when I got saved and I started, trying to serve God, things like that, and maybe trying to not necessarily pull away, but invite my friends to church instead of parties and saying this. And, they would ask me, what's different about you? And so I would tell them. And it got to the point, oh, I know what you're going to say before I even ask. That's what it's talking about. It ought to be that obvious. Don't ask them. They're not going to participate. They're not going. They're not going to do that. It ought to be that obvious. And that's how we have the triumph. In other words, that takes care of a lot of a temptation. If they know I'm going to say no, they probably won't even ask me. If they know I'm not going to participate in the gossip or the slandering, they're not going to share it with me. Don't tell them. It's obvious. They smell like a Christian. They're in Christ. They're revealing the wisdom of God. So the knowledge of God in every place, the Bible says. It's obvious at church we're going to be spiritual. Hey, brother, good to see you. Praying for you. That's just the lingo at church. What a wrong at work. Good to see you. Praying for you. I know you lost your loved one or this, that, and other. I'm praying for you. Works at work too. In every place. This is how we can triumph. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says this, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. This is what people do that's not triumphant. They walk one way at church, but then they're crafty. They go to that undercover Christian lingo. Crafty. Nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. I know the Bible says this, but I'm not going to do it. I know the Bible says this, but this is what I've always done. They handle it deceitfully. But, it says here, manifestation. That aroma. It's coming out of the truth, condemning ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So we see here that we're supposed to manifest that in every place. And every man's conscience, they ought to see the Word of God coming out of us, the wisdom of God coming out of us, the ways of God coming out of us, the work of God coming out of us. So how do we reveal this? Well, God says, well, the Bible says, or where the Holy Spirit will always lead, this is what we're doing. So we see, how can we be triumphant always? By being in Christ. By putting off an aroma. Number three, by revealing the wisdom of God in our life. Number four, we'll look at verse 15 now. What do we have to do now? It says here, how are we going to have triumph in everything always? By realizing who is watching. Okay, I know I behaved better as a kid if my parents were in the room. If they left the room, nobody's watching. I can say, I can do, I can watch, I can behave. Mom, Dad come back in the room. Boom. Why? Because they were watching. So if I'm going to be triumphant in areas of my life, I got to realize who's watching. And it says it right here in verse 15. For we are unto God as a sweet savor of Christ. So God's watching. So if my parents ever did catch me doing something right, if I did give them a good report card, if I didn't give them a pink slip, if I, you know, even sports, if I hit a home run or things like that, my parents were proud. They were watching. I'm proud of my son. That's a sweet smelling savor. So if we want to be triumphant, we have to live in a way when God's looking down over the portals. That's my boy. That's my girl. How they're behaving is just sweet savor to my soul. That's what he's saying. So we see here that God's watching. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Several times in the Bible, the dove came down. When the Elijah and Moses and Jesus was transfigured, what did God say? That's my beloved son. I am well pleased at the baptism and at the transfiguration. He says, listen to him. All right, so what Jesus did and what he personified, God saw that and he was well pleased. It smelled good. It's like his life doesn't stink. It smells good. And so that's what we have to do. We're a child of God. So God watches us. He watched his son and he was well pleased. Man, that smells good. That's awesome. Sometimes you walk into the house and you're like, man, I'm ready to eat now. Well, it's got to cool. I'll blow it. All right. That's my favorite cake. Right out of the oven, no icing on it, burning my mouth. That's how I like it. Right. But that's the best of me. Right. I want it now. And that's what God's like. I am so pleased with my son. How he's living smells good to me. And I hope we do that as well. If we want to be triumphant, God's watching. Look at what it says in verse 15 as well. So, it says here, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. They're acting just like Jesus. They're behaving just like Jesus. That smells so good to me. But then look who else is watching. In them that are saved. So when we're personifying that sweet smelling savor, God's excited. But it also gives us strength. Just seeing all y'all out there this morning gives me strength. They're Christians. They're saved. They're in church. They're wanting to please God. They're trying to have that savor up there. And God's like, man, I'm pleased with them. I'm proud of them. Right? So saved people seeing saved people do the right thing gives us strength. But then it also helps us triumph. If they can overcome sleeping in, I can overcome sleeping in. If they can overcome skipping church, I can overcome skipping church. If they can overcome doing wrong out in the world, I can overcome doing wrong out in the world. So Christians are watching. What's the Bible say? Iron sharpeneth iron. So the countenance of our friends help each other. So we see here, if I want to triumph, I got to realize, okay, God's watching me. But also my friends are watching me. Other Christians. And it's just like Brother Decker texted me this morning. He said, pray for our family. Our granddaughter passed away last night or this morning at 3:30. But he says, I'm preaching today in Oklahoma. And then I'm going to hear him preaching. I'm like, wow. That's kind of like, what was it, Ezekiel? My wife died. In the morning, I went and preached. That's a Christian saying, hey, I triumphed. You can triumph. So we see that God's watching. And then saved people are watching. And what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be examples. Hey, if they can act, dress, talk, behave, do all that, I can too. We're examples. What's the Bible tell us not to be? A stumbling block. If the other Christians are watching us, well, if they can drink, I could drink. If they can cuss, I can cuss. If they can go there, I should be able to go there. I'm a Christian. Stumbling blocks. And then the Bible even amps it up on this one. Especially those little ones. If you offend them, it'd be better to tie a millstone around your neck and be cast in the sea. God's like, hey, I'm watching, and I want to smell the sweet aroma of you being triumphant. Other Christians are watching, and I want them to have an example to follow, not to have a stumbling block, and definitely do not offend the little ones. But then look what else it says in verse 15. Who else is watching? And them that perish, the unsaved, are watching. Now, the Bible talks about how, and I'm paraphrasing here, that our life should be a walking, living sermon. A lot of unsaved will not come hear me run off at the mouth for an hour. Well, 30 minutes, okay. All right. They won't come, but they watch you at work. And so your life is a walking, living sermon. So if we want to be triumphant, we got to say, hey, God's watching. The saved are watching, but the unsaved are watching. So you're going to be triumphant if you're an example to the lost. So we are seeking to please God. We're seeking to be example to the saved. We're seeking to be a witness to the lost. That's sweet-smelling savor to God. This is how we triumph. So God can help us always triumph if we'll let Him. We have to be in Christ. We have to put off that aroma. We have to reveal His wisdom. We have to recognize who's watching. Number 5, verse 16, it says, if we are allowing God to help us always triumph, we are producing that aroma, that savor of life, and it's sweet smelling. If we're failing and producing an aroma of death, carn, God's disappointed. But it ought to be obvious smell. And we've always heard that statement, I can tell by the smell. All right, some of you moms can tell by the smell. You open your kid's gym bag. You can tell by the smell. They've been sweating. It's obvious. You know, your Aunt Gertrude walks by, you know, that she dives in that pool of Gloria Vanderbilt or whatever, and you're, whoa, I can tell by the smell that Aunt Gertrude just walked by. It ought to be obvious. Slap people in the face. Oh, Christian, obvious. Verse 17, it says here, we have to be true to God's Word. Well, look what verse 17 says. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word. There's a lot of people out there say, it doesn't really matter what the Bible says. Eat, drink, and be merry is their mentality. You don't have to not that, and you don't have to do that. They mess up the Word of God. They corrupt it. But those that live in sincerity, like, I want to do what the Bible says. I want to make God happy. We're not corrupting the Word of God. So like we saw earlier, that we cannot handle the Word of God in craftiness or deceitfulness in 2 Corinthians 4:2. These verses are we can't take them out of context and make them fit our beliefs. We can't take them out of context and okay our lifestyle. We can't take them out of context and say, it's okay to do this. That's dealing with the Word of God. And we've corrupted it. But we see here, people have corrupted the Word of God and created work salvation. People have corrupted the Word of God and created baptism or regeneration. People have corrupted the Word of God and created what they call these days blended worship. All right? Let's make the world feel comfortable and this, that. That's not what church is all about. All right? We're excusing our wrongdoing. You know what that does? That stinks to God. He wants to hold His nose. Verse 17 says here, those that are all doing according to His book with sincerity, not because they have to, because they want to, that smells sweet to God. If the heart is not true and in tune with God, the life will be out of tune with God's Word. It is very easy to corrupt God's message by mingling it with some Christ-dishonoring philosophies and man's traditions. You can corrupt it. Very easy. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after tradition of men, after the rudiments. I don't know, that's a word we don't use up. Basically, that means thoughts, what they think, of the world and not after Christ. So we see that verse 17 says, don't corrupt the Bible. If you want to have triumph in your life, you can't corrupt the Bible. You got to do what the Bible says. That's the way to have triumph. So there can be no triumph for one who has left God or God's Word and just lives by the craftiness or the traditions or the thoughts of man. Can't have triumph. So how do we always let God give us triumph? By being in Christ. By putting off that aroma. By revealing God's wisdom. By realizing who's watching. By being true to the Word of God. And lastly, we have to abide. We have to stay. There's probably Christians in life that have experienced all five of those that we talked about. And they're like, I'm having victory. This is awesome. This is working. This is great. And it lasts a month. And they go right back over here. And they do what they were doing. And they're not triumphant anymore. We have to abide. We have to stay. It has to be long term. So we see here, abiding in Christ and His Word and God's Spirit is how to have victory. How to have triumph. I'll give you four verses and we'll be through. John 15:7 says, John 15:7 says this, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Triumphant. So if I'm in Christ, I'm putting off an aroma, I'm showing His wisdom, I'm doing His Word, it's going to be there. Whatever you ask, I'll do it. God, I want to be triumphant over this. Okay. God, I'm having a problem with this. What should I do? Here. Next verse. 1 John 5:4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Triumphant. This world and its philosophy is going to slap you, beat you, bite you, scratch you, tempt you, everything it can. Why? Because if they can get a Christian that has been triumphant to succumb to their temptation, it's kind of like a feather in their cap. That's what the devil does. The devil's kind of like me in deer hunting. All right? I've got two heads on the walls in there. A third one on the way. All right? Why? I'm hunting for that. Now I eat the meat. But the horns are going in there. All right? That's what the devil's doing. He's seeking whom he may devour. This person's been trying for too long. They're affecting people. The saved are getting strength because they're watching Him. God is smelling a sweet savor. And even lost people are watching them and getting the seed planted. I got to get them. That's like a 12-point for him. Boom. The dude that just got saved, that's not grown, that's like a little spike, button buck. I'll just eat it. But the devil is after those people that are triumphant. That'd be like a huge trophy to him. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome triumphant them because greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. God's like, hey, I know the devil's coming after you. I know the world's philosophy's coming after you, but you've got me inside of you. Let me help you. And you can cause it to be sweet smelling to me. Sweet smelling to the saved, and even sweet smelling to the unsaved. They got something I want. It smells good. I got to have some of that. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. So I'm not saying be triumphant in yourself. We can't. We'll fall flat of our face. But that's what Paul was telling the church at Corinth. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency or our ability to be triumphant is of God. So thanks be unto God for our salvation and for always, always causing us to be triumphant. It's all in Him. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for this thought. And Lord, I just ask You to help us, Lord, especially those of us that are saved. You helped us to be triumphant in that matter. The devil tried to keep us from doing it. Maybe even our own flesh and our desires tried to keep us from doing it. Maybe some so-called friends tried to keep us from doing it. Maybe we were taught wrong. There was all kinds of things. But You gave us triumphant and the ability to be saved. And You've saved us, and we're going to continue to be saved. We're going to heaven. But we can stand one day and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," if we've been triumphant over all the temptation, if we've been triumphant over the world's philosophy, if we've been triumphant over our own flesh, and if we've been triumphant over the devil. We'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Help us to want to smell good and put off that aroma for You in Jesus' name. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Derek's going to lead us in the invitation. If you're not saved today, you'd like to be, I can show you from the Bible how you can be. If there's something you'd like to pray about, God help me to be a sweet-smelling savor unto You.